This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, which includes the Shell gas stations in Daphne on Highways 90 and 98 and in Malbus on 181. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, hey, Lori, we're back to it. Cold week, but not like in Texas. But I think that, you know, I'm looking forward to see a little bit of sun. Yesterday was nice, and here we are. A little overcast, but nevertheless,
it's clearing up and getting warm.
It looks like we can see spring on the horizon.
Exactly.
Not bad. As long as we don't get too many hot days, you know, before summer. We've got to have a decent weather period,
right?
So, but since we didn't have good weather, we didn't have some good news. And obviously, the passing of Rush Limbaugh is one of those things that, you know, there's such a void there. And it's like you've lost a friend. And even though I never did, you know, contact Rush or talk to him or anything like that, it's still, he was such a dominant figure in your day's life if you are interested in politics and follow things on. And even though I didn't get a chance to listen to him every day for 3 hours, I certainly tried to do my best to listen to his opening monologue, because he really centered you on what is important and what's going on and gave you insights that just weren't available, you know, uh-huh. unless you really had to go crazy to try to find some more information. So I think that, you know, what Mark Levin said on his show that Rush's place in the pantheon of conservative thinkers is clear, whether it's Buckley, Reagan, those people, you know, are part and parcel of who made the conservative movement. Clearly, Rush is right in the mix with them, because he was such a dominant figure. He did so much with you know, broadcast radio, and saving conservatism, really, and making it popular again. What's his name? Newt Gingrich made the point that 1994 electoral victory that gave the Republicans the House was due in large measure to Rush Limbaugh. So you can't say enough about him. But here's something that really bothers me, and it's part and parcel of this establishment Republican approach to things. And unfortunately, Peggy Noonan from the Wall Street Journal is part of that Republican establishment, and she just never could accept Trump for who he was and what he did. His policies were extremely conservative, but Peggy Noonan just didn't buy into it because of who she is and where she's come from. And so when Rush passed, she has this to say. In a generally okay article, but she couldn't get away from making some points which I think are questionable. She says, in the past dozen or so years, I came to think he was not trying to lead people through thought, but simply to divine where his followers were going and rushing to the head of the line so he could look as if he was leading them. I don't know about you guys, but I'm telling you, that is the last thing that I ever thought Rush was doing. And like I said, I didn't listen to him 3 hours a day, but I'm just suggesting to you that in the times when I did listen, there's no question that he wasn't putting his finger up in the air just to see which way the wind was blowing. I mean, I just think that that's a BS comment, okay? And then here's another comment she makes at the end of her thing. Basically, making the case that in 1987, when the Fairness Doctrine was abolished, it created the seeds for the present problems we have, okay? She says this, has anything in our political culture gotten better since it, meaning the Fairness Doctrine, was removed? Aren't things more polarized, more bitter, less stable? Guess what, folks? The far left has always had an ideological fixation on what they wanted to do to bring essentially socialism leading to communism to this country. The Fairness Doctrine was not in their way. They did what they were going to do no matter what. Arguments were not going to be sufficient. It didn't matter if you're William Buckley, Ronald Reagan. It didn't matter who you were arguing with these people. The facts are just as they are today. The answer to a bitterly polarized country lies in left-wing theory and left-wing ideology. End of story, okay? You find Republicans who are trying to work with the Democrats. Jerry Carr was on a town hall with us last Monday. And basically, Jerry is reaching out to the Democrats, particularly the ones who, you know, got elected from Trump areas, hoping that they will have some sense to themselves, at least from the standpoint of wanting to get reelected, so maybe they'll be, quote, bipartisan in what's going on. We'll see how all that plays out. I'll give Jerry a nod to at least trying. But you see, this is the issue. What's the cause of the polarization? I mean, do you think AOC, Ilhan Omar, Tlaib, these people are going to be actually reconcilable because we can talk to them and reason with them? Forget about it. We have to beat them. And that's one of the things Rush kept saying. We have to beat these people. So I would suggest carefully, you know, when you take a look at Rush's influence and the degree to which he was such a dominant figure, it's clear that we're not going to have someone like him for a while. But I do believe that someone will come along who will be able to provide the kinds of insights, maybe not in the same way. I mean, he was an individual who was just, you know, incredibly smart, a natural genius, and he had a sense of humor. Well, you put those kinds of things together, they don't come along, you know, every other day. So I think that you know, these questions that people like Peggy Noonan raise are have to be answered quickly. And so I just, you know, felt like I had to do that, okay? I do think that what's going on here is something that I would argue we need to look carefully at where conservatism is going, okay? There's no question that we have problems within the conservative movement. Clearly, the Rhino Republicans have stabbed us in the back, and I say us, those who are on, you know, Trump's side with this. But there's nothing new about them. And when Pete Ream was on the show a few weeks ago, we talked about this. I mean, in 2010, the Tea Party movement worked hard and gave the Republicans the House of Representatives. A major blow to Obama. 63 seats were lost. Six seats in the House, six seats in the Senate. And a few years later, in 2014, we were able to keep the House and give the Republicans the Senate. All to do what? To stop Obama. Stop Obama. They wouldn't do it. When Trump came to office, one of the things the Republicans had been running on for many, many moons, we want to get rid of Obamacare. And there are arguments along the lines of why that's a good idea. Well, if it was such a good idea, why didn't they have an off-the-shelf plan ready to give to Trump, pass it through the House that we controlled, pass it through the Senate that we controlled, and there you have it. He signs it, off we go. But no, they don't have that. They didn't do it. This question of these rhinos is part and parcel of the argument I just made. Gave them the House in 2010, 2014, the Senate, and they did very little with it. And today we see the same problems with it. Mitch McConnell votes no to impeachment, but then he excoriates Trump, basically saying he lied about the steal and was responsible for what happened on January 6th. Well, I'm sorry, folks. There is no lie about the steal. And the reality is that, and we've talked about this, but the reality is that you don't have to point to the dead who voted. You don't have to point to the voting infractions. You don't have to point to Dominion voting machines. All you have to do is say, and the examples are there, and the example that I point to the most is the Pennsylvania Constitution, which mandated certain requirements on Election Day. Okay? And if those requirements were going to be changed, they had to go through the legislature. And not only through the legislature, people, there had to be a referendum voted on by the people. They could not willy-nilly change the law. But it got changed, didn't it? We all know that. And the question is, how did it get changed? It got changed by the Democratic Party's officials in Pennsylvania. One, the Secretary of State; two, the governor; and three, the state Supreme Court, which had a 5-2 majority Democrats. That's what happened. They changed the law. They weren't allowed to do that. And they changed the law in a way that everyone knew was going to be problematic for election integrity. Even Jimmy Carter said that years ago when they did an analysis of mail-in balloting. Now, I will be the first to admit that if you do it right, you can probably make it work. Certainly Washington and Oregon, and I think Colorado is the third state that's doing it. But it takes time to do that. It takes time to wring out all the problems within the system, particularly, you know, how solid your electoral rolls are. So we don't need to get into that. What we need to get into is an understanding that it's not a lie to talk about the steal. The steal happened, and it happened in these battleground states. So here we are. We're back to square one with this whole business of, you know, the Republican establishment hating Donald Trump. Whereas us'ins out here in the hinterland kind of liked him, didn't we? And are kind of ready to have him back because the present situation is fraught with danger, okay? And that leads me to what I want to talk about this morning, okay? On Saturday, the 20th of February, at Mamalu's restaurant, Common Sense Campaign sponsored a in-person town hall. We had a full house. I'd say at least 35 or 40 people there. In addition, we live-streamed it on Facebook, and we had another 400 people who were listening. Not bad. But what it tells me, and we're going to post it on, we have a video of it, okay? Our good friend Judd Blakely went ahead and taped it for us. And we're ready to post it. And you can see in the first parts there, while I was talking about what Common Sense is doing and trying to get back to in-person meetings, everybody gave me a round of applause. People are hungry for it, okay? So the point here is that we are now going to embark on a series of town halls. We'll see how all this works out. But I do think that in terms of the Wuhan virus, we are in a better position. The combination of the inoculations, the combination of being on a very steep slope of decline is all very positive. And if we're in Baldwin County, I think that Baldwin was not hit nearly as badly as Mobile. So for whatever reasons, I think it's getting safer to do these kinds of things. But we're still going to do social distancing. I think we need to do that. We didn't do a good job with that on Saturday. But nevertheless, the next event that I have is planned at the original Oyster House. And they have a very large meeting room that I've already booked for the 15th of March.